I pray that this film encourages marriages that are struggling. They see a struggle and they see a couple coming together in struggle. I pray that it encourages families to band together.
Well, today our guests on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly are three siblings who've had very successful Christian music careers. Rebecca St. James has had a long solo career, and she's now a co-host of a new Focus on the Family podcast called Practice Makes Parent. Her brothers Luke and Joel Smallbone have enjoyed great success as the group For King and Country. And together, they're going to be sharing with us today their family's incredible story of moving from Australia to the U.S. Your host is Focus President Jim Daly. Thanks for joining us.
John, great job introducing our guests. They have a great movie coming out. I saw it at a retreat that we did with Focus on the Family. Their mom and dad were up at that retreat, and It was great to get the inside scoop on the kids. So I've got laundry. I got dirty laundry on everybody.
Did they tell you which was their favorite?
Of course it was Rebecca.
Yeah, she is number one, as you told me off air.
She is number one. Well, she's the firstborn. They need that reinforcement. But we're looking forward to a great conversation. That movie is going to come out April 26th, Unsung Hero. You need to go see it. If this were a movie Focus on the Family was going to make, it would be the one, because it's such an uplifting movie about family, and we're going to talk about it today.
We are, and we have a lot of details for you at our website. We've got the trailer. We've got resources for your family. Our big message is this is a terrific film, and April 26th is actually being dubbed Focus on the Family Day. Now, I'm not sure who's dubbing it that, but it's a big deal. So learn more in the show notes. We've got all the details there for you.
Rebecca, Joe, Luke, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, man.
Looking forward to this. I did talk to your mom and dad extensively. I took very copious notes.
There'll be a big reveal at the end here.
And when you were seven, you said something that really embarrassed your dad.
No. You can believe most of what.
Yeah, that's so good. Hey, first of all, let me just thank you, Rebecca, for joining Dr. Danny Huerta on our parenting podcast.
It.
And are you enjoying that?
It's such a joy. Because this is my space. My husband and I have a 10-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old. So, I mean, I've got this expert, this doctor in counseling and family.
Yeah, you're living the dream.
And I get to ask him questions and experts questions every week. And it really is empowering my parenting. So I love it. It's
We're going to throw so much stuff at people listening and viewing today on YouTube, because one of the great things we've just done is to create age and stage content. And people can go in, sign up for that. Mm-hmm. And what's great is we age your record so we know how old your kids are next year and 5 years from now, so we can send you content for that age and stage of your life. And that's kind of what you're experiencing being
exactly.
that co-host.
I love
so
it.
People need to dial into that. You'll give details.
All the details are at the website.
How old were the three of you when your mom and dad decided to move to the U.S.
14, 7, 5.
Okay, so what were your feelings? I mean, so many of us in the U.S. were very transient with jobs. You know, you move from California to Colorado or wherever. What was it like being a child of your age at that time, leaving your country and coming to the U.S.?
I mean, I remember it so well. We were saying goodbye to school friends and saying we were moving to America for 2 years. We're now, 30-some years in?
Yeah, 30 years. Yeah, 32
30 years. So now, initially just 2 years. That's
in the film, that was
there.
Your mom's kind of putting the line down, right?
Yeah.
Let's do this for 2 years.
Yeah, we'll try it out, see how it goes.
Yeah.
But my friends were so jealous because they were like, oh, you're going to the country of Disneyland. That's all they could think
well,
of.
That is
Disneyland.
True.
It is true. One facet of the U.S., but it was a grand adventure. It really was.
Yeah.
And I mean, so much of the movie Unsung Hero is so true. Like there's a scene where, you know, and Joel directed and starred in it. So he did some really heavy lifting on this, and Luke produced and was super involved too. My husband was. I have a cameo.
It seems
it.
Like a family
Cubby,
affair.
Cubby was second unit director.
Okay.
Rebecca's husband.
So yeah, that's awesome.
Part of the family.
And you played your dad.
Involved.
True story.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute.
Yeah.
So anyway, in that regard, we'll get into the movie and unfold that. But first, I want to talk about you playing your dad. Was that a little weird?
The short answer is yes. I mean, I've said this in front of him, but we've dubbed it a very expensive therapy session.
Well, now we're getting to it.
Yeah, now we're getting to it. But think about it. In all seriousness, what do you do when you have these experiences and you need to sort of go back and relive them, even on behalf of someone you love? So in the past, I feel like I've been pretty lazy with our parents' story. Because while Rebecca was 14 when we moved, like we just said, I was 7, Luke was 5. It was just this adventure. Mm. We weren't leaving school. We weren't leaving, you know, we weren't teenagers. And so I always saw this movie, Luke similarly, from a childlike perspective. But then when you go and you start rewriting, as I'm roughly dad's age when he moved. Mm. And so you start looking at it from adult back.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're not as lazy with his story anymore. Mm. You go, oh my goodness, 6 kids, 1 on the way. Moved his wife over here, no insurance, loses his job, no car, no furniture, no way to get home. You know, and you just go, like, you start feeling yourself. So the amount of empathy that it gave for him, like, there is a stake in the ground for me in our relationship that was that production of Unsung Hero. And I don't think I'll ever look at our journey or him in the same light.
Yeah. No, and it comes out in the film. The film is so well done. And I mean, it is a pro-family film with all of its kind of quirks and turns. And but there was a lot of tension going on in the family with the move, because you came over, as you said, your dad didn't have the job he anticipated he was going to have. The promises evaporated. Yeah. And he's got 6 kids, 1 on the way, no money coming in. I think one of the things that really struck me as awesome was the way people rallied around you.
Oh, yeah.
Made me feel kind of proud to be an American, actually, good. That there are good people here. You found that in Nashville.
Yep.
Describe some of that, what those people did to help you guys as a family.
I mean, man, we had, just to give a little bit of context, Joel did a little bit, but dad brought a tour over to Australia. It didn't go very well. We lost everything, right? Lost the house, lost the car, lost the life savings, and he gets a job offer to come to Nashville, Tennessee. He thinks it's a good idea to move his 6 kids, his wife who's 6 months pregnant, and we come to America, we land, my dad loses that job, all right? And so as you kind of described, we're in a state, right? We're in a load of hurt. We're sleeping on beds made out of clothes. We didn't have any way for our little sister to be born in a hospital, didn't have a car. I weren't always quite sure where the next meal was gonna come from. And one of the things that was cool about just being a child in that process was we literally didn't know what else to do other than just gather around in our furnitureless living room and just start praying for these essential things. And you always hear in families, like, if you want your family to follow in the footsteps of what you believe and following Jesus, there needs to be evidence of what that faith looks like in your family.
Mm.
And so for us, we would go around and we'd be like, God, need rent. And then, you know, to pay for rent, and all of a sudden, you know, you would see rent show up. People would, you know, the local church would come and they would write us a check to cover our rent. We would have new neighbors that we didn't even know. They would come and drop groceries on our doorstep.
Yeah.
That became dear friends. The first Thanksgiving that we were here, you know, someone gave us a car. And let me tell you, if you want foreigners to fall in love with Thanksgiving, just give them a car. They'll do that, right?
And I'll make a note to myself.
That's right. So we saw all these extraordinary things take place, and you're absolutely right. It was the local community that loved on us in a way that if it wasn't for the local community, the local church, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well,
right now.
It's interesting because that is what the church is supposed to be.
Yep.
And so often we're not stepping up in that way. And that's what the movie, again, inspires you to think of who's around you.
Yeah.
You know, who are the neighbors around you and who can you help?
Well, and I'd even take that a step further, Jim, and say, I think the lens that we look at life through is family.
Hmm.
Because what you don't see in the film, and you might need to just stop the podcast if we're spoiling too much for you, but what you don't see in the film is that you see the breadcrumbs of what we're all doing today, you know, raking leaves, mowing lawns, banding together, figuring out how to, as siblings, like, partner with each other. What you don't see is when you fast forward the better part of 30 years, us three sitting here now, but you see our youngest brother general managing, and our oldest brother doing lighting, and our brother Ben doing film work, and, you know, our little sister Libby designing our crest, and our dad, like, you see our mom being the glue. You see us all continuing to live out through music and through the arts, but what it looks like to be a family, not always a functional one, but a family nonetheless that stays together.
I haven't met that perfect family yet. So this is awesome.
I don't think
though.
It exists.
I don't think so. That's not the goal.
No. Yeah.
But I so appreciate what you're saying. And certainly it was modeled for you in that moment. You know, one thing that we want to mention, people can go to the website. There, one thing in the film that really caught me, just as an interesting thing, was the board I think your mom put up, the please and thank you board.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Please, Lord, could you answer this? Mm-hmm. Kind of what you were saying earlier about rent money or yep. whatever it was. And then the thank you. That is a brilliant way to teach your kids your need and your thanksgiving to God for meeting mm-hmm. that need.
Well, I think what was so impressive about mom and dad that just blows my mind now is how honest and vulnerable and therefore courageous they were in sharing with us how down to the wire we were. I mean, to admit to your kids, we've got dollars to our name, this is really challenging, and we need to pray. That's very humbling for parents. But they were prepared to talk about the need because we could go to God together and we could come through this time together. And so I think there's a real power in that vulnerability. And I look back now as a parent and go, I don't know how they did what they did, because the responsibility as a parent is so intense and you do feel fear. But God gave us a story. He gave us something to share. And I pray that this film encourages marriages that are struggling. They see a struggle and they see a couple coming together in struggle. I pray that it encourages families to band together, that it encourages faith that is struggling and lifts people up to where they can stand firm in their faith and be encouraged. You know, hidden within the word encourage is the word courage. And I pray that this film just lifts people up in courage, in faith, and in family life.
That's good.
That's Rebecca St. James talking about the movie produced by her brother Joel Smallbone and his brother Luke as well. This is Focus on Family with Jim Daly. We're highlighting that film because it is such a pro-family movie. It
comes out this Friday.
All about everything we're all about here at Focus on the Family. So, yeah, check the trailer, check resources, and plan now to see the movie Unsung Hero. And all the details are in the show notes, or give us a call, 800, the letter A and the word family.
I'm going to get to you guys, but I do want to ask one more question about Rebecca. So you're 14 in the film. You get signed by 4Front at 15?
Yeah, 15. That's
15 years old. Mm-hmm. You're in this, you know, what most would see as poverty situation with your parents not having a job, raking leaves. You get signed. The weight of that for you, what did that feel like as a 15-year-old to feel like, okay, you got a check. Nobody else is getting a check within the family. That had to be a bit of a weight.
I think I was pretty tuned out to a lot of it. You know, Dad was managing me. And so a lot of the money business side, I just handed that off. I didn't want to get distracted by that. I had given my gifts to God and said, I want you to use my life, Lord, so lead me. So music was ministry to me. That was the reason I was doing it. So I really stayed out of the rest of it. I think at the time, I don't think I realized the weight of being so young and doing music. You know, I was 13 when I did my first tour. Signed at 15, full-time at 16. I remember very well just praying before everything, every songwriting session, every book that we began, you know, every part of every singing session, show, because I knew my inadequacy. And that's been the through line, Jim, honestly. I've known my inadequacy the whole time. And
that's what we
whether
like
it's
about
practice
you.
Make oh, thank
no,
you.
Seriously,
but prayer is the lifeline for me.
Humility that comes through.
Thank
because,
you.
Again, the other part of that being, you know, artist at that age, it can mess with you.
Yeah.
Christian, non-Christian.
True.
And we all know people that kind of stardom really takes the real life out of people. I mean, the spiritual life out of people, replaces it with materialism and, you know, kind of the things that aren't good.
Yes.
But you were able to hold on to who you are, which I think is remarkable.
Well, thank you. I mean, not perfectly, but I think having my family, honestly, And my character says that at some point. She's like, if we can do this as a family, honoring God together, then I want to do this. And that's so true. Because having the family to come back to after, you know, doing a song at the Dove Awards at 16, you know, and doing all these things that I was doing, traveling the world and shows and a lot of pressure, doing it as a family, we were a team. It was shared pressure. Mm-hmm. And that helped me keep my sanity, honestly.
And yet, here she, well, I was going to say stands, but sits, still faithful, still serving, still standing, allowing her brothers not only to step on the stage. When we first started as a band, we were her background vocalists.
Joel was 12 when he started singing with me. We have pictures of him being just so young.
We cut our teeth literally watching her. So yeah. For King Country is a legacy band of her. And then also trusting us to tell, really, it's Mum's story, but it's also Rebecca's story. This film is very much Rebecca's story. And to tell it in a way that, you know, it wasn't an easy story for her to tell in some ways, or to trust, you know, with. But the beauty of that now, and even being able to verbalize this, it's pretty profound.
Can I speak to one moment in the film that gets me every time? It's where Joel, as my dad, playing my dad, is speaking to my young self, my 16-year-old self. And it's a very tense scene. And there's, you know, it's probably one of the more kind of stressful scenes in the movie. But he says, in bringing it around full circle and resolving things, he resolves this very tense situation and conversation with an apology to me and with just kindness and saying, I see you and I believe in you. And I just see Joel's heart for me. Like, we have a strong sibling relationship. We're a close family. And I just see love for me and respect for me and a very genuineness in his eyes playing on that camera where he, my brother, is speaking through this role of my dad to my grown-up self and saying, I believe in you. And I lose it every time. I mean, it's really powerful.
Was that a fair depiction in the film of you and your dad kind of going at that moment?
Definitely not at that time. Yeah. No. Dad was much more like gentle with my heart. I think the film depicts Dad, what he was feeling on the inside.
Yeah.
Externally, because he was containing a lot of it.
And it really was that idea that, you know, he wasn't thinking of you as being a musician, and you were trying, you were blossoming, you were budding,
offering myself.
And in the film, they did a good job depicting that moment where he says, "Okay, you know, I believe in you."
And I think he was trying to be a protective dad too, knowing that the music industry can chew people up and spit them out. Well, and he didn't want that to happen.
But the reality is, and you doing the podcast with Danny now, I mean, for a father to speak those words, I don't care if you're a musical family, a non-musical family, when a dad speaks that kind of blessing over his child, it's powerful.
Yeah, 100%.
And if it's not there, it's also powerful in a bad way.
Yeah. And I would even say this, you know, I've always said that our family is a functionally dysfunctional family. We just fight really hard for the first word, functional, you know? Because all families are dysfunctional. But I think if you can teach your kids, and this is actually really to us parents, if you can model forgiveness to your kids, you become a fortified family. You can go through things. Because, man, at the end of the day, like, trouble awaits for all of us, right? Relationships, troubles. Whether or not you're in business, you're in work, you're in family, like, you're going to hurt people. But when you model forgiveness and when you teach people forgiveness, and I think that's what you're talking about in that scene, there was an apology, you become super powerful. Because if you can go through, relationships are always looking backwards, I think. But when you overcome struggle and you forgive, it actually breeds intimacy. It brings a closer relationship. And that intimacy can be in friendships. That can be in marriage. But that can be between father and son, mother, daughter, and vice versa. And that's super, super powerful. It's one of my favorite scenes, because if we as parents can teach and model forgiveness between us as spouses, and our kids pick up on that, sky's the limit for these children.
I so agree. You know, the other element there that you pick up in the film, and it's who you are in your real life, and it's just that I think that humility to know that relationship matters. You know, so often people contact us here at Focus on the Family because they've lost that relationship with their teen or their adult child. And when you get into it, you made behavior more important than heart. And, you know, I get it. We all as parents want our kids to behave well, and that's a good outcome. But what's more critical is the heart, to have your child's heart. And your mom and dad, that's one of the great blessings of watching the film and knowing you guys personally. What a great job they did in developing your heart so that you make not always perfect decisions, but you make solid, good decisions for one another. Look at the way you're talking about each other.
I think they really made space for conversation always. You know, whether it was in the car, family conversations
about deep things.
Yeah, or folding washing or doing chores together around the home. I think mom and dad, especially mom, was always available.
Yeah.
And I found a picture, Luke, I think it's of you, sitting on mom and dad's bed with mom folding washing. It would have been while we were on the road.
This was last year, actually.
Ouch. It was then.
Good
but
for
now,
you.
A long time ago. Luke was probably an early teenager. And you're just sitting there talking to mom.
Yeah.
I should send you that picture. But it's really powerful because she was available in the craziness of having seven kids, road life, the crazy adventure that we were living, for conversation about the deeper things of life. And if we as parents can be available for that, wow.
I said this off air, but our mother, and I'm so glad that this film is really centered around her character, because my mom did all of the unseen things really, really well.
Yeah.
My mom was not a perfect mother. There was many a times where she got frustrated and all these other things. But for the big... but
seven kids.
That's right. Yeah. But for the big moments, yeah. She knew when I needed her.
Mm.
And she was always taking very real side-by-side conversations, life things, and applying and teaching. And she taught me right from wrong. She taught me forgiveness. Yeah. She taught me fear of God. And for that, I think we're different.
Well, I'm hearing that from all of you, and that's what makes the movie so special. Mm-hmm. I think that right here at the end, considering how your family has honored God through so much adversity, and then you think of these experiences and how they shaped your lives today and who you are today, and being successful. I mean, everybody is going to look at you guys and go, wow, they are a real talented and successful mm-hmm. family. How do you relate that to how God created you? Are you in the groove? Are you living your full life? Are there still things you want to do? Or what's happening in your relationship with God now?
What a good question.
I mean, you're kind of at the top of the mountain.
There is a... it's a scary place to be.
It doesn't feel like that.
You get blown off.
Yeah, it's a long way down.
Yeah. Well, I will say, just in a call for prayer, I would, if you're listening to this, obviously we would ask you to believe in the film, and if you feel moved, and I think you'll be entertained by it, I think you'll be encouraged by it, but even more so, one thing you can do, even if you can't show up in the theaters, is pray. We have faced a level of warfare in the last few months that I've not been acquainted
with. Boy, that's really interesting. Yeah.
In my life. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, it's across the board. And I think part of it's growing pains. I think part of it is there's a very real battle going, an unseen battle going on. I think that pushes us, obviously, even on the mountaintop, if you will, that pushes us to lean not on our own understanding. That pushes us, has pushed us into each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's actually pushed us to purge things out that, there's something about having a D-Day of a date. That's like, hey, you got to get your house in order because, this thing's coming. And then at the same time, Jim, John, what we've also seen is, man, just the goodness of God. Like, this is a story of miracles on screen, but man, we could do a whole other podcast of miracles behind the screen.
Yeah.
It is a great film. We had the privilege of seeing it. And I think right there at the end, the way it portrays your mom particularly, I'm a mom hero. My mom was my hero through a lot of, instability. Mm. And my mom made the difference. And I think the film, love for your dad, creative guy and out there doing it, but mom seemed to be the rock. And
she held us together for sure.
And that's great. So many moms feel like they're unseen and unsung hero.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this film is coming out right before Mother's Day. And so I think it is this moment in time for people listening to honor moms.
Yeah.
Like, bring your mom to this film.
Oh, yeah.
Like, honor her. Thank her for what she does. It is a thankless task, I think, for a lot of moms to be momming.
Being the only mom at the table.
Yeah.
I'll let you say that.
Yeah. So thank your mom. Make it a moment in time if you do go see the film, or even if you don't, to just bless your mom and say, on all those times where you felt unseen, just know that you're a hero in my life. You've sown into my life, and I'm thankful.
Yeah. Joel, a last thought, that the pressure that you're feeling in the last few months spiritually, just the a priest once said to me, you have to realize the battle you're in fighting for marriage is that Satan gets up every day and every marriage is a stench in his nostrils because it's the very image of God on earth, that he created the male and female, put his image into humanity, and that the two shall become one flesh. And every day Satan is trying to destroy that union because of what it represents.
Wow.
There's a different way to look at it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you guys, thank you for being here with us. And man, we're looking forward to seeing it again.
Oh,
we got
thanks.
The preview, thanks but we're going to go out this Friday, April 26th, and take as many people as possible mm-hmm. to see the film. It's a great film. It is not a B-roll film. And I was really grateful for that. You guys did a great job. Didn't know you had that acting in you now.
Thank
you,
Jim.
In all seriousness, on behalf of the three of us, you know, primarily musicians, it's one thing to listen to a 3.5-minute song on your way to work. It's a whole other thing to sit down for an hour and 40 minutes and watch a film. So thank you for taking the time.
And I love your byline in the film poster. What was it on
that?
Yes, let's grab that.
Families not in the way, they are the way.
And you guys prove that, and much to your mom and dad's credit, family is the way. I think that's the nation's rally.
We were going to just call the byline "Focus on the Family," but then we thought, we should.
That's what we thought.
Yeah, we would have let you use it for the film. It's perfect. There's so much symmetry there. Thanks again for being here and talking with us.
How much fun?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Again, April 26th, this Friday, you can go to the theater and check your local listings. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to say that, John. Check your local listings for a theater near you.
I'll do that. And we have a lot of resources online. Check our local website, our Focus on the Family website.
Our local website.
We've got the trailer there. We've got a link over to Rebecca's podcast that she does with Dr. Danny Huerta, Practice Makes Parent. We've got the Please and Thank You prayer download as a reminder for your family to start asking God for his help and then thanking him when he answers those prayers. All sorts of resources that tie into the film and in various moments. We've talked about some of the tension points. There's a struggle with work. There's a struggle in the marriage because of the lack of work. There's a struggle amongst the kids. We want to be there for you as a ministry. We've got so many resources. So the starting point is our website. Check the program description for all the details. If you're in a point of need and want to give us a call, we have caring Christian counselors here. We can walk you through whatever you're going through. We've been around for 47 years, and we're here to help. 800, the letter A, and the word family.
Yeah, and come out April 26th. We've dubbed it Family Day. But we'll make the whole weekend Family Day. Even better, we'll make the whole weekend Focus on the Family Day.
It fits the film.
Thank you.
That's much a great gratitude. Promotion.
Yeah, we love that. And I hope you love the movie when you see it Friday. Again, it's called Unsung Hero. Be sure to check it out. Watch it with your family. Take your mom, as was suggested by Rebecca. And thank you for joining us today for Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.